So our reading this morning is from the book of Hebrews, written to the church. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. All these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. And if they had longed for a country they came from, they could have gone back, but they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. And that is why God is not ashamed to be called their God. He's prepared a city for them. The word of the Lord. So normally when I read books, I listen to them through Audible. Audible is one of the greatest inventions in world history, next to the wheel and duct tape. And occasionally I will read a book. And several months ago, I came across one that really piqued my interest. I want to put it up here. It was a book written by Dr. Robert McKenzie, who has a PhD from Vanderbilt and is a professor at Wheaton. And it is a very, very well done book. Very, just high scholarship, accurate. I have to say, so many of the Thanksgiving videos I watch or, you know, podcasts I listen to are horribly historically inaccurate. And many times people from both sides, Christian or secular, come with an agenda. What McKenzie does, I think, is he presents a very balanced view, and he talks about the whole idea of the history of Thanksgiving and where it was born and what came out of it. And one of the things he goes on to say is that it didn't particularly begin in just one place, which is, I think, the remarkable thing about it. He said we can find evidences of Thanksgivings in Jamestown and Williamsburg and Jacksonville, Florida, and probably the one we know more than anyone is the one in Plymouth. And he talks a great deal about Plymouth. And I'll put the picture up here. When we know the Mayflower was sailing off the coast of Plymouth, they sailed horribly north. They could have probably been, it would have behooved them much more to be much lower down the East Coast, but that's where they were directed. And when they were getting off the boat, I'll put this next picture. When they were getting off the boat, there were 102 people there in the autumn of the early part of the 1600s. And the very next year, they went from 102 to 53. We know that half of those 53 close to 50 people that died were little children, little boys and girls. And they knew that the next winter they would not make it. And one of the scriptures they longed and looked at was the passage that I just read. And what I find amazing, this is in the case with Jamestown, it was a case down in Jacksonville, it was a case in Plymouth. They all seem to be drawn in this one scripture, and I want to put it up here again. It says, all these people still believing what God had promised them, and yet it says they did not receive what was promised, and yet it says they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. Now what this is saying, this is talking about Abraham looking forward into the future, knowing I may not see it now, but I know one day it's going to come. It's the same thing with these early people that arrived here on our nation's shores 4 centuries ago. They looked ahead and they believed in a better country, a better world, whether it was a earthly one or a heavenly one. And what's extraordinary about this, what they could see and maybe at the same time could not see, think about this. Out of 53 people, 35 million people were born out of 53, which to me is a miracle. And just like with Abraham, they never lost that vision of a better country, a better world. And what has been born out of that, we can, when it's all said and done, this idea of Thanksgiving has been woven into our nation's history. Again, Jamestown, Williamsburg, Jacksonville, Plymouth, from countless presidents ages ago, whether it was George Washington or Abraham Lincoln and even FDR, all of them talked about this idea of coming together as a country, as a nation, to do two things, and that is to give thanks in family settings, in neighborhood settings, in around a table, to give thanksgiving for God delivering us and blessing us, and also giving a proclamation for the one who's given all that blessing, and that is God. Lincoln, Washington, Roosevelt, all those other places in Jamestown, Williamsburg, Jacksonville, Plymouth, all of them had this idea of giving this proclamation and thanksgiving to God for all of it. And I have to say, to me, at the heart of our nation and even the heart of all of us is an idea of having a thankful heart, of not focusing on what we don't have, but focusing on what just all the blessings that God has poured out in our lives. We have a sign in our house, a little plaque. I think Lisa may have gotten it from Walmart. I'm not sure exactly, but I want to put it up here, though. There is always, always, always something to be thankful for. Always. I think about my own life in here, just my own family. When Lisa, my wife, was 6 years old, the doctor told her father that because of a kidney condition, she would most likely never be able to have children. Just in case some of you don't know, okay, we have six children, right? And I think even a greater blessing is that Lisa and I, both our prayers have always been, it was not for me to be a pastor of a large church or to do a lot of great things. The number one goal of my life, besides being faithful to my spouse, was that my children would grow up to love God. And I have to say, my three oldest going up to college, they are all still walking strongly with the Lord, which to me is the greatest blessing of my life. I could die tonight content. And I'm saying it with my other children. I think of the blessings of working with the colleagues I have a chance to serve alongside of at this church. Just wonderful, wonderful men and women of God who pour everything into seeing God's glory revealed. I think of God's provision that sending three off to college, two now in college, that it is hard to do that on a minister's salary, by the way, if you don't know this, okay? God has always seemed to provide just enough, never extra, just enough. So no more and no less. I think of just the people in this church, so many of you, this really probably all of you, it has been so rewarding to be a pastor at this place. I didn't say easy. I said rewarding, to serve alongside people who have one goal, and that is to make God famous and to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. I also think of the trials and tribulations of my life. As my second son was asking me a few months ago, he said, "Dad, would you go back and change some of the stuff that's happened to you that's been hard?" I said, "No, I wouldn't." And it's taken me years to get to that point, but I realize it's because my greatest triumphs have been born out of tremendous trials and tribulations, tremendous sadness. And this is what Mackenzie's book gets at. I think what he does so well is that we see this over and over and over again. Through great trials and great tribulations and great hardship, God does something great. And we saw it in Plymouth is a great example of that. When the autumn came and the days were growing shorter and the nights were growing longer and the temperature began to dip, they knew they could not make it through another winter. And they knew if they didn't, they would probably all die. And they began to pray that God would work a miracle. And one of the wonderful things about God is often we pray for God to do something. He seems so often to answer our prayers in ways we just could not have imagined. We could not have foreseen. And this was absolutely the case here. When they prayed for a miracle happened. And that was, and I'll put the picture up here, his name was Somerset. This Native American walked into the camp. Can you imagine what that must have been like for these 53 that were still left? Looking at a guy, all he had was a loincloth and a bow. And not only that, how scared he must have been. And he came to sit down and to make peace. He was part of the Wampanoag tribe that was, they were dying off too. And he sat down at a table. He negotiated that they could come alongside one another and serve one another and come to the aid of the other and help the other in need. Imagine that. Sitting down with people you cannot speak language with, people who have completely different belief systems, and finding common ground. It can be done, people. I know we don't say it in our culture now. It can be done. And this is a miracle on so many levels, because think about that. If Somerset does not show up, 35 million people are never born. Think about that. And because the death of winter was staring him in the face, and he said, I and a few others, we will stay behind, and we will show you how to survive these brutal winters, and we'll show you how to grow things. And in the coming spring, they taught him how to grow things, and when the harvest came in, John Howland said this, with a special manner, we rejoice together with the Wampanoag tribe as we gather the fruit of our labors. And I'll put the picture up here. It is now known as one of the first Thanksgivings in American history. Now, I don't know if they would have even called it this, but what they called it was grateful. What they called it was thankful. That they had survived. And we know 90 people showed up from the Wampanoag tribe. They spent days together eating, playing games, breaking bread. And this humble event was born out of great trial and great suffering, and yet has been recast now as one of the most important and defining moments in American history. And it's a true story about alliance and abundance born out of great suffering, out of great trials, out of great hardship. It's really to celebrate the providence of God. I want to add here, to me, the providence of God is a very strange and mysterious thing that I've not even yet begun to understand. There are days that I think I understand it, and there are days I realize I throw up my hands and I say, I do not understand it at all. And what I mean by that is anybody in here knows this. Everybody knows this. There are days, there are weeks, there are months where you can feel like you can see the hand of God moving and you're riding this wave, and there are other days where the wave comes crashing down on you, the wave of God's providence. And sometimes it can happen all in one day, right? Anybody experience that here? Am I alone up here? I thought, okay, I mean... Let me give you an example. Just this week, it's been a hard week for me. I felt lousy in the beginning of the week. I'm over the cold now, but I felt lousy. And then sometime early Monday morning, somewhere about 2 or 3 in the morning, my younger brother texts me in a frantic saying, would you please pray? My niece, his daughter, is a sophomore at the University of Virginia. Many of you know my connections to the university. Most of my family attended there. My uncle is the rector of UVA, which means he's head of the board. at UVA. And Sarah was distraught. She was scared. There was a gunman loose, and they didn't know where he was, and he had killed three people and shot two others, and we didn't know what happened. And then it's like the news kept getting worse. And then later that day, I just could not believe it. My favorite player in that football team was killed. I'll put his picture up here. His name was Tyler, Lavelle Tyler Davis. An extraordinary young man. He is what everything UVA hopes a gentleman to be. Parents from a military family, kind, gentle. A lot of people didn't think he could even play football, and yet he's one of the best players in the team, on a lousy team right now. And he was basically adopted by the assistant coach. That's the assistant coach's children with him, who just adore him. And the wife of the assistant coach has really, really gotten very close to him, Lauren Hagans, former basketball player. And she texted him, I want to put this text up here. She texts him that night on the bus. They were coming back from watching a play in Washington, D.C. on Emmett Till, a class project. And she writes to him, she says, text him, she says, listen, Tyler, I want you to be productive. I want you to be filled with peace. I want you to be careful this week. I want you to be very deliberate this week. And you can see there him saying, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. And you look here, this is what I think is so hard about this. You look at there, it says 9:02. He was shot and killed 3 minutes later. It was a hard week for Charlottesville community. And I was just sad this week. But this just tells you, okay, the lows I was feeling, and then literally a day later, the highs, and I'll put this next picture up here. I watched Cross School, elementary school, win the state title in chess. Yeah. It was awesome. Awesome. As I watched my sons, Josiah and Fielding, bring home that state title. And then, extraordinary, watching two other boys up here, I'll put the picture up here, Maddox and my other son, just Fielding, win second and third place in the chess championship. It was pretty extraordinary. I know, that's what I thought. All right. That all happened in a 72-hour period. I cannot give explanation of what happened in Charlottesville. I do not understand it. Three extraordinary young men, and I mean that. This is not just hyperbole. They were really, really good kids. And maybe on the other side, I'll understand. And then 2 days later, I'm just watching kids that my wife and my son and Wayne Bauer had poured into these young people to watch them see reward. It was just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And the providence of God is like that. There's moments that can come crashing down on you, and you are caught in the wave, and you are down under the water trying to get up and come up for air. And then there's other times you are riding this wave to impossible heights that you didn't think were possible. And this week, as I was just trying to process this, I came across a portion of scripture. I have probably read this or heard this. I just never heard it before. It struck me different this week, and I want to put it up here. 70 years are given to us. Some even live to 80. But look at this. But even the best years are filled with pain and trouble. And yet it also says the promise, soon they will disappear and we will fly away. I have learned that you cannot appreciate what it means to be on the heights unless you have been brought low. I've learned that it's hard to appreciate what it means to have times of abundance until you've had times we had virtually nothing at all. It's hard to understand happiness until you've had times of great sorrow. I think that's what brings about really true gospel, pure thanksgiving, is that you've arrived to the point you know what it's like not to have anything, and suddenly when you do, you just feel incredibly grateful, and you have this thankful heart. And that's what it was with these people in 4 centuries ago, all of them, Williamsburg, Jacksonville, Jamestown, Plymouth. All of them lost so many people, and particularly Plymouth. They came together for Thanksgiving that was born, this is the thing that's remarkable, the Thanksgiving was born out of grief. The fact that they lost so many, imagine losing children, that Thanksgiving was born out of that. And we don't usually attach loss with abundance. And this is what I would say, I really believe, and I think Mackenzie does this really well, this is what truly does separate our nation from a lot of other ones. And that is that the real grand narrative of our country is not that we're better than anybody, because we're not. And the real grand narrative is, with all our faults, and boy, we got a lot, is that deep, deep down inside, we know, deep down inside, we know everything we have is a gift that we did not deserve. I like to remind people, why is it that we were born this time in history? I mean, we were riding the wave of God's providence on top of the wave, not under it. Can you imagine if you and I were born in the 11th century as a serf in a feudal system? I don't care how smart we think we are or how hard we would have worked, you would never have worked your way out of that. I actually had someone 2 years ago tell me, seriously, they were serious, I could have worked my way out of that. No, you couldn't have. You were born in it, and you died in it. And yet, we are born at this time right now, and I think there's a reason for that. And that is that God is calling us to do something with what we have. This is what they meant when they looked forward to the future, that we have been given a gift with it. And for that is for the sake of others. And every generation will struggle with this. What do we do with it? And I think it bears asking and answering the question, and that is that, does God seem to perform miracles for a person or a nation over others? No, I don't think so. Any more than we'd say he didn't perform anything for those boys on the bus there in Charlottesville. What I do know, though, is God does bless nations, and God does bless people, that we would become a blessing to other people, to other nations. So it carries with us, I get what I'm saying, a great responsibility to much is given, much is expected. And so Almighty God has blessed us from sea to shining sea, that we would be a blessing between the seas and even beyond them. And let me take this even a step further here. As Christians, what does this mean for us as Christians here? As we come to Thanksgiving this week, and we come and put these packets up here in this basket and Thanksgiving to God, the great Thanksgiving is not coming up this week. The greatest Thanksgiving in history happened in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. And let me see if I can show you this. Let me put the picture up here. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, the scripture says this: on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in the remembrance of me." Something we celebrate here on a regular basis. I've underscored where it says given thanks. Do you know what the Greek word is for given thanks? Maybe some of you know this. It's the word Eucharisto. It's where we get our word, the Eucharist. The Eucharist means we are giving thanks for God's great love for us, that he came and lived the life we should have lived, and he died the death we deserve, and because of that, we have grateful and thankful hearts as we come to this table up here in a little bit. My hope this morning is that when you and I come forward, in both cases, one sense we're coming up here to give, another one time we're coming up here to receive, that as we come in both cases, this will not just be some religious ritual that we so often do. We don't think much about it, but you will actually will ponder in our hearts, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you for your love for me. May I leave out these doors this day that I may have a love like that for this world that you came to die for, that people would see that love and they would see you and they would praise you in heaven. Come with thanksgiving to the great Thanksgiving. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we, as I've said many times, and I always remember Newton's great hymn, Amazing Grace, that saved wretches like each one of us here. And it is through many, many dangers, toils, and snares. Each one of us in here have already come. And praise God, it's for your grace that we have thankful hearts that will lead us home. It's in your name we ask and pray these things. Amen. We're going to stand, and what I'm going to have you do is, as we're playing this next song, we're going to come forward and we're going to place these contributions in this basket on the altar for God. I say that to those who are present, maybe those who didn't bring an envelope this morning, it's totally fine. You can bring it at another date. Those that are watching online, if you'd like one, you can call the church office. We'll send you one. You can always mail them in. We'll be receiving them for several weeks. But in any case, come forward and place them in on this altar this morning. Let's come.
Well, let's stand and sing together.